Sounds good. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, patriots of all ages, welcome again to another fun-filled edition of In Black and Right. We are still the new definition of color commentary, and yes, I am still your host, Jerry Brooks, also your tour guide through the alternate universe of Joe Biden's America, and the baby-faced assassin of freedom. Fighting for freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of expression, and all the other great freedoms that our Constitution grants us. If you want to give us a question, a comment, send us an email, inblackandright@gmail.com. Or if you can check out our fun website, inblackandright.net. We are just a couple of weeks away from CPAC, Texas, right in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. It's going to be a hoot. There's going to be a ton of great speakers. President Trump will be there. President Orban of Hungary will be speaking at CPAC, Texas. Also going to have the Steve Bannon's War Room there. Hopefully, Mr. Bannon will be there to speak. There's also going to be great folks like Jack Posobiec being there and a whole host of others. And I hope to maybe meet at least some of them, maybe get a question in or two. But yeah, it's going to be a blast. We're just about finishing up our fundraiser to take care of expenses while we're going. We're going to be planning to do some shows from CPAC. We'll be doing some live streaming as well, and look for some updates on the website here at the end of the month, just before, and it's going to be a ton of fun. Anyway, folks, today, just looking at the news, and I thought, oh boy, I mean, there are days I sometimes wonder, why do I even get out of bed? But I said, Nope. I gotta do it. Gotta do it. Yeah, because, you know, if I don't do it, you know, you guys aren't going to be able to learn some new things. So I thought, okay, it's all good. But yeah, of course, now, of course, one of the big stories, at least here in the States, is Joe Biden has COVID. In spite of the fact that the man has been shot up, double boosted, fully vaxxed, and everything else, he still caught it. Oh, yay. But what's also interesting is that the governor of Illinois tested positive for COVID, J.B. Pritzker, and also the chair of the January 6th kangaroo court, Benny Thompson, also tested positive as well. Now, of course, Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, came out to essentially assure the bottom feeders of the White House press corps that Biden is experiencing very mild symptoms. He's taking all sorts of medication. And I love one thing she said during the press briefing. And I quote, out of an abundance of transparency, the White House will provide a daily update on the president's status as he continues to carry out the full duties of the office while in isolation. Abundance of transparency. I just don't really equate the Biden administration with transparency on anything. But, you know, I will not wish Joe Biden any ill. I wish him no malice. I hope he does recover as quickly as possible. But the man is not well. Period. Anybody with half a brain and some critical thinking skills will tell you this. And he's just not well, folks. He's just not well, and this is just one more thing to add to a guy who's already got all kinds of problems. I mean, he came back from his supposed great trip to Saudi Arabia and also to Israel. He came back with nothing. Absolutely, positively nothing. No oil deal, a lot of crud that he threw at the House of Saud and the royal family. You know, they, I mean, come on, folks. When are you going to get a clue, especially you Biden supporters and also the progressive Christians who got really brain dead in 2020 and voted for this guy? The world does not respect him. They don't. And the Middle Eastern folks in the Persian Gulf, they really don't like him. They don't respect him. They won't even answer the dang phone when he calls. So he goes hat in hand, begging the Saudis for more oil, and gets nothing. He is, I mean, the Wall Street Journal today, front page, I believe it was their editorial page, saying that Biden's trip to Saudi Arabia was worse than an embarrassment. I thought, ouch. Major ouch. Now, just to kind of take that a little further, or at least kind of steer it slightly into a more relevant direction, I'm looking at the story, and it's Transportation Secretary Preachy Pete Buttigieg talking about transitioning to clean energy. I mean, the obsession with the Biden administration and clean energy is absolutely going to crush the economy. The green raw deal is a mess. It is an absolute full-blown mess. But yet, Preachy Pete, he just loves just talking about all that green energy and electric cars. I mean, my gosh. One of the things that he said in an interview with CNBC, that he was, quote unquote, still astonished that people seem to really struggle to let go of the status quo, unquote, when it comes to the push for green energy, greener energy. It's like, it's simple, Pete, you doofus. People like their cars. They like their fossil fuels. Not everybody can be a rich dingbat, woke white elitist and buy an electric car. I mean, it's bad enough you've screwed up the nation's supply chain, our transportation system. You screwed it up and you've screwed the pooch horribly. But no, you just want to keep going down this idiotic woke road. And I'd like to play a little bit of Preachy Pete when during his appearance on CNBC talking about liquefied natural gas and energy and other things. It's just nuts. So just take a listen to this.
I'm not here to make news on energy policy, but again, what I'll say is the sooner we can be focused on domestic clean energy production as leading the way in the U.S. energy mix, the less we are confronted with some of the most confounding questions of geopolitical risk that come with the 20th century economy. I'm still astonished that some folks, and I felt this, I was testifying in Congress yesterday, some folks seem to really struggle to let go of the status quo. If someone wants to raise the reasons why it's hard, those are absolutely challenges we should be taking on and working through. But if it's done as an excuse to do nothing, all we're doing is signing up for more of these vexing questions that pit our interests, our alliances, and our values against each other year after year after year. I don't want that to be dominating our public discussions in the middle of this century the way it is at the beginning of the century.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that just nice, Pete? But the problem is, you are still living on planet Doofus. I mean, the fact that we now have lower gas prices right now, I can guarantee you, it's not because of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and all the oil we've let out. No. It is not because of that. People are starting to use less. And yes, with the demand down a little bit, so came gas prices. It has zero to do with this green agenda or whatever. That's bad enough. But in a related story that I found on the Epoch Times, now there's some ding-dong, climate change zealot who apparently wrote an op-ed called "The Earth Wants Biden to Keep Gas Prices High." And I'm like, why? I mean, this is crazy. I mean, this is an economic journalist, a guy named Eduardo Porter. And he's arguing that Biden should endeavor to keep gas prices at around $5 per gallon in order to reduce fossil fuel consumption and carbon dioxide emissions. I'm like, okay, this dude is just a crackhead, because only crackheads can come up with the idea about reducing carbon emissions, carbon footprints. It's like, heck, if we don't have carbon dioxide, trees die. And I'll tell you why. We as human beings, all several billion of us on this planet, we breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide. Okay? That is a scientific fact. Trees do the same thing in reverse. They absorb carbon dioxide and they let out oxygen. But holy cow, folks, the way some of these climate change zealots, I mean, it is like a religion. It is very much like a religion. The same with abortion. It isn't a religion to them. I mean, I have never have figured out or understood what it is with some people wanting to be thoroughly obsessed with killing a baby. I mean, to the point where, I mean, they are willing to threaten, harass, vandalize property, private property, and public property. You have people like AOC and her squad pretending to be arrested. I mean, she wasn't handcuffed. And yet, these people are still going to do whatever they possibly can to make abortion, I mean, it's legal. It's just, it's not going to be legal everywhere. You know, you can have, you know, companies, woke companies, that'll give these women, you know, if they want to go for abortion, you know, they'll just, you know, reimburse them if they want to go to somewhere like New York State or California, Oregon, Washington, or any other place where abortion is legal. And of course, the mainstream corporate media are also complicit in the lie that, oh, all these women are losing their rights. And it's like, oh, stop it. Stop it, you lying sacks of crap. There has never been a constitutional right to an abortion. I don't care what they said in 1973. They were wrong then. They were wrong now. Okay. There's just not a constitutional right. Now, the court of that day, the Warren Court, you know, were pulling stuff out of thin air and probably out of their butts, trying to make it so that, oh, yes, there is this, you know, quote unquote, right. And there never was one, and it never went through the states. And now that it's now gone through the states, now you've got these folks, all these, you know, zealots, we want to kill our babies and you're going to make, and you're going to pay for it. I'm like, okay, no, I'm not. You're very evil and very demonic to scream that, because that's what's in their hearts. And to the point where in even some cases, and probably not nearly as many as is reported, you've got these women and others who are supporting abortion, and they are literally demon possessed. They're literally demon possessed. Now, if you think I'm kidding, you can think that, but I will find you the video evidence. I will find it and I will show it, and you're going to have a heck of a hard time explaining it. You just are. So yeah, I'm really disgusted with this. But what really, going back to this nonsensical op-ed written by this Porter guy, just some of the things that he spews out just make me go, I either really need like an Advil or a serious single malt scotch, because my head hurts. My head absolutely hurts listening to this nonsense. But one part of Mr. Porter's thesis, and I quote here, increasing the price of gas is not the same as increasing the price of the CO2 it releases into the atmosphere when burnt, but it's close enough, writes Porter. The beauty of this moment for the president is that he wouldn't have to deploy any political capital for this to happen. Russia's invasion of Ukraine already did the trick, sending the average retail price of gasoline above $5 a gallon in early June. All Biden must do is keep it from falling back. Okay, yo, Eduardo, or Edweirdo. Okay, you must have an electric car or something. Because if you have an actual car that requires fuel, a fossil fuel, then you, sir, are a hypocrite. You are an absolute hypocrite if that's the case. Because, one, it wasn't the Ukrainian invasion, the Russian invasion of the Ukraine that made gas prices go up. Gas prices were already going up before Russia decided to invade. It is provable, very provable. And now to keep it that way, when we are sitting on so much resources because of a sad, twisted, obsessive devotion to green energy. Now, the problem is, I don't mind green energy. I really don't. But it is not, right now, mainstream enough. It's not. I mean, can please somebody tell me, you know, since somebody seems to be so obsessed about green energy, please tell me one green energy source that doesn't require major government subsidies. major government subsidies, because I'm willing to bet you wind and solar and other types of quote-unquote clean energy require humongous subsidies from the government. And it doesn't even begin to generate the type of electricity or the amount of electricity that's needed. It just doesn't. Now, sure, you can have solar panels on your home if you live in a place like California, Florida, Arizona. I mean, that's one thing if you want to do it for your home, but to put it on such a massive scale, it's not sustainable, to borrow a very leftist word. It's not sustainable. Holy cow, it's not sustainable. But apparently, until we get some folks with some sense in government, in Congress, in the White House, we're going to have to put up with this nonsense. The obscene price for fuel and for other things as well. I mean, I'll give you, I mean, right now, one of the big reasons why the British are in search of a new prime minister is because of their economy. British inflation is just as bad, if not worse, than American inflation. And in Italy, certainly no third world country, their government essentially already has collapsed. Their prime minister has turned in his resignation, and now Zelensky lost the fanboy in Italy because they were one of the ones who were leading the charge to stand by and help out the Ukrainians. The Germans weren't that thrilled over it, but and certainly not Macron and the French. Ay, 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 ay. So, I don't know what this dude is thinking, but I want my cheap gas back. Okay? I want to use our oil. And, yes, our oil, our natural gas. We have clean coal technology. I want it. I want it. And, frankly, about these apocalyptic doomsday prophecies of people like AOC and other whack jobs. Sorry. I don't buy it, because you're not God as much as you think you are. But no, I mean, I don't talk about, you know, just deliberately poisoning the planet and poisoning the air and the nonsensical and asinine ramblings of Democrats and mainstream media types saying that, oh, the Republicans just want dirty air and dirty water. It's like, that is so stupid on its face. That somebody, and the Republicans are just like, oh, no, no, and they always go on defense. No. Get a set of stones and call these goofballs out. Challenge them. Push back and push back harder. I don't know of anybody on anywhere on the political spectrum that wants dirty air and dirty water. I don't know of anybody, and if they are, they really are some seriously sick puppies. We've already got problems in certain parts of the country. I mean, there have been concerns that there might be brownouts. The grid will be overtaxed. Texas has had over 100 degree temperatures for quite a while. In fact, when I go to Texas, it's expected to be around 100 degrees. You know, and I'm like, oh, no, thank you. I mean, I don't think I have enough sunscreen for that. So, yeah, this is nonsense. But, you know, we're just about at the month of August. Let's see what happens, because essentially if gas prices somehow continue to fall, I believe that the Democrats are going to get a false sense of security, thinking that everything is going to be fine. We're going to win the midterms. We're going to talk about abortion. We're going to talk about all this other stuff that people don't give one rat's ass about. It doesn't happen. They're concerned about food in gro- grocery stores. They're concerned about empty shelves. They're concerned about going to the gas tank and not having sticker shock and putting on a little Joe Biden sticker saying, I did that. And yes, you did. Now, I'm glad the gas prices are coming down a little bit, but it's still a mess. We still need to use what we've been given, and we can use it responsibly. We absolutely can. We've got tons of natural gas, and yet we have to deal with a minority of really annoying, far too obsessed with virtue signaling. I mean, somehow it's like Greta Thunberg with her pigtails and her petulant attitude. I was thinking, girl, you better sit down. Sit down, have a cookie, and shut up. Because I don't know about you, if you want this nice little climate change world that you live in, fine, but I'm not going to indulge your fantasy. That's just not how I do things. I'm just not. But, oh my goodness, but here's just the kind of, just, oh mama, this is crazy. This story from Breitbart. Now, the mayor of Highland Park, Illinois, says an armed good guy could not have stopped the rampage that happened during their parade on July 4th. But the Indiana hero, the young man, Elisha Dickin, who sadly is going to have retained a lawyer, because somebody's probably going to get real stupid and try to criminally charge him or sue him or whatever. But he took out a potential assassin. He took him down in 15 seconds. Yes, 15 seconds. The young man worked fast. But listening to this pathetic mayor, oh my gosh. Oh, I just want to just play a little bit of this. This is just nuts.
Thank you for inviting me to discuss today how we stop mass shootings. My name is Nancy Rotering. I'm the mayor of Highland Park, Illinois, an all-American Midwestern town. I was at the Highland Park 4th of July parade shooting, and I will be haunted forever. Before I tell you my story, I want to recognize the brave police and fire personnel who ran directly into danger to save lives. They did everything right. They miraculously caught the shooter within hours, and they are what true American heroes look like. It was a perfect summer day. The excitement of 3,000 parade goers was palpable, especially since this was our first parade in 2 years post-pandemic. Festive floats, a sea of children and adults in red, white, and blue waving American flags. At 10 a.m., my council and I kicked off our parade. Music and cheering were all we could hear as we headed down the street. I looked left and waved to my husband in the crowd. What I didn't know at that moment was that just to my right, on a one-story rooftop, a 21-year-old was preparing to traumatize my hometown forever with an assault weapon. Shortly after we proceeded down the parade route, I turned to my colleagues and I questioned why the marching band had stopped playing music and was only playing a drum cadence. Tat, 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 tat. I then saw a sea of marching band members sprinting down the sidewalk, some with tubas still entwined around their bodies. I realized later that the sound I had heard wasn't drum cadence, it was the sound of an assault weapon.
Okay. Before this turns into another Democrat sob story, this woman, even though she is the mayor of the town, has no freaking idea what an assault weapon is. In typical Democrat ignorance, she doesn't know. She has zero clue. There, any quote-unquote assault weapon is not for civilian use. I mean, I don't know what they do with this. I don't know how. I mean, they keep repeating the lie enough where people start thinking, oh no, it's an assault weapon. It's like, no. They're dingbats. They have been manipulated. They have been fooled. And, I mean, I understand know, she's the mayor. She's a Democrat. It's Illinois. And yes, it was horrible what happened. And yes, I give credit to the local police who found this kid. But once again, it's just one of those, she seems to think that she knows how best to stop a mass shooting. And no, not all mass shootings are the same. Now, if somebody was there, like the young man in Indiana, and they figured out where the shooter was, they could at least shot in that direction. If they didn't hit the shooter, at least they could make them stop, even for just a few seconds, and so that he couldn't continue to do what he was doing. I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't know precisely what happened, but if I have to see another one of these pathetic congressional hearings from people who seem to think that they know about guns, they know how to stop mass shootings, and they're politicians. You got to remember, this Nancy Roetering is a politician, a mayor. She has no clue what she's talking about. Yes, she can, you know, express all of her feelings and so forth, but when you're dealing with something of this magnitude, it's not about your feelings. It's about what you do at the time of the incident. You know, how did this kid get on a rooftop? That's certainly one question. I mean, it's the 4th of July. There's a parade going on. Was there a fire, like a fire escape, something that allowed this kid to get to a rooftop? I don't know. You know, number two, where, you know, yes, they did catch him, but weren't there police around along the parade route? That's another question I would have. I mean, the questions you ask when you're looking at a situation like this, instead of just emoting and freaking out, it's like, oh, we need more gun laws, we need more gun laws. Well, we just had it. We've got a bipartisan bill that all these dadgum rhino Republicans, and some of them were real head scratchers, at least in the Senate anyway. Yes, you got your wish. You've got your bipartisan legislation. More gun laws. What did it do? Nothing. What has it done? Nothing. Highland Park still happened on the 4th. Shootings in Philadelphia, New York, they happened on the 4th. Chicago, big time. Big time shootings on a 4th of July weekend. So, but yet, they're more focused on Highland Park, Illinois, rather than the city of Chicago. That, to me, is just a mind blower, an absolute mind blower. So I don't know, this is just one of those things that I just have to go, these people still don't get it, but it's okay, you know, we're gonna be fine. And yes, millions of law-abiding citizens are still either buying guns or they are having guns, they have their guns. And especially women and minorities, the two fastest growing group of gun owners in this country, at least in the last couple of years, because thanks to the Democrats, defund the police is leaving especially minorities and minority communities, you know, they're using, it's open season. It is open season on black neighborhoods, black inner cities. It's been that way for the longest time, but no. Oh, we have to defend the police. It's like, oh God, reimagine policing. I said, how about imagining a session with a psychiatrist because you're nuts? This is, and yet, I don't want to hear from lefties anymore of how compassionate they are. It's like, well, we need to defund the police. It's like, yeah, uh-huh, you racist dipsticks. Because who do you think is going to suffer the most? Your nice white neighborhood in the suburbs, or a minority neighborhood in an inner city and with all the black on black crime and whatever else? Gangbangers, drug dealers, you name it. But nope. Nope, nope, nope. We have to defend the police and reimagine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got tried in Minneapolis, and it was an abysmal, epic failure. History will teach you things if you have the eyes and the ears to listen. And with that, my friends, I'm going to call it a day. Thank you very much for listening. You can catch our podcast on all the major platforms. Just look for In Black and Right with the nice flaming microphone. Follow us. Follow us on our social media, on Getter, on Rumble, on Instagram, Facebook, Truth Social, and True Patriot Network. We're expanding, and it's going to be fantastic. And we're going to finish 2022 strong. So take care, my friends. Have yourself a great day. We'll be back with WTF Friday tomorrow. And in the meantime, remember, patriots come in all colors.